Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show with Shirley Yance, only on LA Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show. I am Shirley, your clinical hypnotherapist here in Southern California, and a glitter and rainbow girl going way back. My specialty is, of course, working with the LGBTQIA community, the BDSM and kink communities, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So I thought during this crazy time that we have, we need some fun, maybe inspirational things. Things to bring a smile to your face and maybe a giggle to your heart. So before we get going, we're going to start this show like we always start the show. And that is only if you're in a safe place. You know how this works. I need you to take a deep breath. Hold it for a second. And exhale that smile. And now for part two. Remember, safe place. Now, come on, let's wiggle your toes. Wiggle your butt. Take a deep breath and say proudly, either in your head or out loud, depending on where you are, I got this. And we are ready to go, which is great. Also, to keep the show going, wanted to remind you real quick that I do have a Patreon page with some great perks, including some shout outs and lots of free swag. Wanted to thank the Bambit app, who has a great deal going on with me right now for new clients, and to Mises Treats for their wonderful support. So today I have as a fabulous guest, Mr. Brian Bernhardt, an artist that doesn't let mainstream define how he works. So hello, Brian.
Greetings and salutations, human.
Hey, how are we doing today?
So far, so good. I'm still alive. Still breathing.
Yes. Well, you know, that is so important.
More than ever right now.
Definitely. So you are the CEO of Embrace the Weird.
Well, I tend to describe it as chief creative weirdo.
Oh, okay. Much better. So that would be CCW.
Yes.
You may have to change that.
I'm the CCCW of Embrace the Weird.
All right. And that's why I love your work, actually. Because while many artists follow the conventional what sells everything now, and you follow the other people, follow the trend, you follow your heart. So how did you get started on your adventure in weird art?
Well, I think ever since I was a little kid, I've been called a weirdo. But I think that stems to is I've never been drawn towards trends. I've never engaged with what the mainstream thought was popular. I had Vans space boots once when I was like in the fourth grade, and then I wore them to school, and everybody was like, what is that? Like those are the weirdest things I've ever seen, you know, two years later, everybody has them everywhere.
Bucking the trend.
Well, I tend to just find things that are interesting and then I like them, and I partly started creating my brand, Embrace the Weird, just because I couldn't find anything out there I wanted to wear that I felt represented what I'm about. My perspective I didn't feel was properly represented in the world. So I decided to just sort of make stuff so I could selfishly wear that stuff.
And then some
other people kind of like it. So...
You know, when you can promote you and live it, we have a thing in hypnotherapy where you can either be a hypnotherapist or you can live hypnotically. And that's what you do. You don't just, you live your work. you wear your work. So
yeah, there is an amazing hypnotherapist who is also a amazing performance artist and an educator. He teaches other artists how mm-hmm. to perform. And one of his core philosophies about being able to engage an audience is to be interested, don't be interesting.
Right.
And like the more you're interested in something, and the way he displays this in his workshops is just so incredibly amazing. He'll be like, you know, like engaged with people, and then all of a sudden he'll just like run off his corner and be like you think the world's coming into an end. There's like a panic thing going on. Everybody crowds around what he's doing. He's like, you see this happening? You know, it's very fascinating the way he conveys that. Yeah, it's like. And I believe that's true, but it is also like hard to break the barrier of what's interesting, right? Like I can be interested in exactly what I'm doing, but also like it's got to be a gateway for other people to want to be interested in what it is that I'm doing. I could just be interesting in my own vacuum. And that's sort of hurdle, I think, that independent artists have to deal with. So you have a lot of independent artists that do fan art, like strategically making fan art. I've dabbled in that because it brings more balls over to the other stuff that you're trying to showcase.
Okay.
But I think the problem is people dabble in that and they're like, oh, this is selling. And that will become the focus of the work, and then their whole entire body of work becomes just this like fan. And while that sells, and while they could make a probably a decent living only selling that, I don't think that it is adding or building or innovating anything new to them.
Right,
it's just satisfying people's immediate urges to get something that represents them or their fandom. You know, like something that this is a fun, cool thing that I now hang up. Not really expressing original voice or perspective point of view in any way.
And that original voice is what we need out there.
Also the hardest thing to maintain.
It is. It is very, you know, I didn't say it was the easiest thing. I just said this is what we need.
Absolutely.
You know, we need people that don't fit in those little tiny boxes. You know, it's finding things that you decided, you know, you looked around and there was nothing that spoke to you. Well, it's kind of like that in some of the, you know, in a lot of places where we don't find stuff that represents us. So we make it. And then, you know, you just, like you said, you just hope other people love it too.
But wow, does like living through a pandemic really, diminishes and also like reinforces the like what is important, you know, is a necessity.
Right.
Like, and immediately the visceral reaction is like nobody actually needs art to live. But then, correct. Like that, it's not food, it's not water, it's not shelter, it's not clean supplies. It's thing that you put on your wall to experience, to be inspired by. But you know, so it's fascinating because I've sold a pretty good amount of art during the pandemic, which was unexpected. Like through online sales, people actually found my listings for original pieces, like in order.
That's great.
Which is amazing.
Yes.
And unexpected, but also like in the physical retail space that I have, pre-pandemic times, January and February were my best two sales months ever. Like business was actually really good.
Okay.
And I don't know what it will take to ever get back there. Like for example, it's so weirdly hit miss right now. Like this past weekend, Saturday was unexpectedly better sales than I was like expect to be there, but they weren't anywhere close to it. January and February were. They were unexpectedly good for a panic.
Right. Sales. Right. We look at things different now.
Yes. But Sunday sales didn't exist.
Right.
Sunday, there is maybe 30 people in the market at all that were like window shopping. And right. Like I had zero sales. So it's like, then you start weighing as like, is it really worth it for me to sit public space to try and sell my art to people who are not actually buying anything? They're coming in because they don't want to stay home.
Right. And because things are opening and closing, and a lot of people are buying stuff online. They're doing everything online now.
Yes.
And I have to disagree with you. Okay. Although art, and I tell this to artists, musicians, stuff like that, you may not think of it as something that's a necessity, but it is.
Because, I absolutely agree with that.
You know,
sure.
We need that stimulant, something new, something colorful, something, you know. I mean, when I'm looking at your background, I'm immediately focused on the picture, you know, your big, bright picture. And when I hear new musicians online, you know, people, it's kind of caused some people to come out of their shells, because where they could hide or only be at one location, now if you want people to see you, you have to be online.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of look as art as maybe it's not an essential, you know, thing, but it kind of is for your mental health.
Agree.
Okay.
Like, I mean, I do think, so I think there's a balance. Like we look throughout history, like even with as screwed up as our educational history is in this country, where things are manipulated and screwed up in the way that they are, even with that our history books are made up of art and war.
Right.
So like our historical context is told through stories and art. And art, right. How a time period is transit, like what is the art that they were making at that time. I'll go all the way back to the Venus of Willendorf, which is like the first sculpture of a female form that was ever discovered.
Right.
Which is the sculpture ever. is that of a female form. Go figure. But it is that's to me interesting, which is like innate human that there's a balance there. It's like for as much war and all things and death as there is, there is just as much responsive art. I think that is mm-hmm. a way that people have distinctly created balance to, like, we got this here and then this here, like sort of creates the yin and the yang
mm-hmm.
of essentially life. And out this, I think we'd all just be dead. So it's like, I think the art, whether they're, no matter what that art is, if it's like the TV show that you're watching to find escapism in, that is art. Somebody
right.
created that, somebody wrote that, somebody
yep.
shot it, somebody edited it. Those are artists are making the thing that is helping you escape from the horrible things that are happening in the world, you know. And that can be, I mean, like television is what is the most consumed art form today, but that was at one point paintings and is in a museum.
Exactly.
Right? Like people would go to the museum to find mm-hmm. escapism in this thing. So it's a much older art form, and so it's appreciated by a much smaller audience of people now, because it's just easier to pump television into
right.
people's homes, and so it becomes easy, and by natural instincts, humans are relatively lazy, lazy creatures, and we like convenience, which is very much directly related to how we are in the particular conundrum we are in with supply chain issues.
Yes. Yes.
But, you know, like it all sort of piles on top of each other. But it's like art has always been part of humanity as a way of coping with awful things, as a way of telling stories so we can understand things better or process this information. It's a way of recording history. You know, so it's like as an artist, when the pandemic hit, one of the first things I felt compelled to do is start making art about the pandemic.
Well, so I was going to ask, how has your art actually changed during the pandemic?
It was like in the very beginning, like back to being first reported, it was blowing my mind how much people are not taking it seriously, as right. You know, like this is never going to come here. It's not going to be an issue. Even when we refer, like people are like teasing with like elbow bumping each other, right. You know, like ha ha ha, you know,
yeah, this
is a funny thing. And back in early March, I started wearing masks. And people, I was getting arguments with friends over the fact that the CDC said you shouldn't wear masks. And I'm like, but this, you know, the logic dictates the thing is transmitted.
Like, right, exactly.
Through invisible means by people that don't show symptoms. So why wouldn't I, like, there's no reason that I wouldn't wear a mask. The only reason is to save N95s for healthcare professionals.
Correct.
Right? Like that's the reason why people... Like, well, we wouldn't want to wear a mask. But that is nothing to help us transmitting it to other people.
Exactly.
You know? So I've been wearing a mask since one when I go out. My neighbors look at me funny. You know, going into the bank early on with a mask on was like a week. Like, they would be like, what, you know. So like, you know. Since day one, people haven't been taking this thing seriously. But also like in the beginning, there's so much, and there still is throughout this whole thing, such weird misinformation.
Oh, it's going all over the place.
And you know, so some of the art that I was making in the beginning was like, you know, it was about the misinformation, like what. Like how do we know real in regards to the pandemic? Because it was like in the beginning, it was even though I was wearing masks, it was like I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anybody that knew anybody. I didn't know anybody that knew anybody that knew anybody.
Right, exactly.
That had gotten this virus. I was like, is there a weird conspiracy? I find it hard to believe because like I don't think that, you know. So early on. I was, you know, kind of dipping my toes to that world because it was like this seems so far-fetched that it's not like there's no direct evidence. Like nobody even knows anyone yet. You know, so is this real or is this some sort of weird X-Files level
exactly
cigarette smoking man dog and pony show thing? But then quickly. It became like, as soon as it hit local hospitals, and I know so many nurses, and I know so many people in hospitals, and I know people. I have family members that are RNs that
I have immediately lots of friends that are like take this
in this war zone, and like in is 100% real, and I see through this perspective their eyes, people that are in the thing, you know what. That are desperately trying to keep people alive and keep themselves alive. And I'm like, fuck, like there is no way that these people are part of some sort of uber global conspiracy. It just can't.
And you know, your friends and you're like, okay, they would never.
Right. It's like you couldn't pay this person enough money
right.
to make this stuff up. like to read a script. Like they have considerably more integrity than that. Like I've known this person my whole life.
It's exactly. Trust
this person. It's like I might not trust media outlets, I might not trust politicians, but this particular human being that I know, that friend who has, you know, picked me up from the ground when a bully's knocked down, you know, like I trust this human being. And when this human being is saying that, like, that shit is bad right now, and that we need to do these certain things to protect those around us, then that's the person I'm going to trust.
Right. You know? And I mean, we have a mutual friend that has dealt with stuff like this. And, you know, it's like the first person that I ask, you know, it's like, okay, you know, tell me the truth, because I know you will.
And it's like, but here's the thing that has blown my mind is, so like all this mask wearing and stuff like that, and all politicized for left wing, right wing, who's it? But like, once the conspiracy theory portion started creeping into the
right
with the 5G's and the builds trying to chit people and all this stuff, when that layer of things started getting in here, people that are more of a liberal leaning, open minded, artsy ilk, that those people started, well, maybe that is true. I don't trust this 5G thing, and Bill Gates is a billionaire, so he must be evil.
Right.
Like, yeah, this conspiracy makes sense, and masks don't do anything. So they start, like, the people that I thought were like allies in this started going, maybe I don't need a mask.
Right.
And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? I'm like in people in the creative community suddenly started like going.
There's two groups, even in the artist community, from the people that I've talked to.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of amazing that you would think that in the artist, any type of art, any type of media, you know, you kind of tell yourself, okay, these are open-minded people. But
it comes to it's empathy, right?
Right.
And like, so I've created in my read space, I've created an entire New York City bodega style plexiglass shield that covers the entire retail space where I exist.
Makes sense.
The reason that scaled up in the way that it did is, one, I knew before I ever come going back that there were going to be people that I would have to deal with that aren't taking this seriously and that actively being aggressive towards like people that are taking it seriously in a very strange way.
In a public place, when you're in a public space, it's totally different than doing stuff online.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you don't have to worry about the people that are, you know, buying your art online or contacting you through whatever. But in an actual physical space, that changes everything. I mean, you want people to see your work, but you want to do it safely.
So it's like I first reopened. I had the standard. I had a plexiglass shield, just like it was made like a foot thing.
Right.
That was to be in between the transaction. So I'd be sitting at my counter and I'd be buying something. Somebody would come in. And inevitably, they would just sidestep the plexiglass. and it wasn't a malicious thing. It was the human instinct is going, there's something between this other person that I need to communicate with. I don't like it. Here we go.
Exactly. You know?
And so I'd be like trying to shift to get behind the screen. And like and it wasn't working. And then I got like the L shape. And I have like some doors that I didn't do anything with. So the saloon doors had no protection, but then I had this full L shape that was going around the bar was like plexiglass screen the whole way. and I'd be there, and then somebody would start talking, and inevitably they would drift over to where the saloon doors were to start to continue the conversation. That like not where all the protection stuff, but where the saloon doors were, nothing in between, and they weren't going ha ha ha, I'm gonna get banned or anything.
No,
they like they're just like something is in between us. It's just making it hard to hear. So I'm just gonna go here, not thinking about there's might be a deadly disease lurking about.
Well, and so one of the things,
go ahead.
You know that. I think has to do with that very thing, is that as humans, we are all about social contact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's everybody knows that you have kind of this own personal bubble, which is fine. People accept the human bubble. Well, most people accept your human bubble. But now you're taking that human bubble and you're putting those layers in front of it.
Uh-huh.
So now with your plexiglass and with people wearing masks, it's like, I can't see all of you.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
What are you hiding from me?
Exactly.
And where in some countries, masks are just masks. You know, they wear them every day. They have been for a long time. You know, I now know people that have masks that match every outfit, but but it's what it is we're so used to having that personal contact.
This country in particular has a historical issue with masks, going back to like chlorophobia.
Right.
I mean, like the fear of clowns is like people can't recognize the face, which is much more prevalent in this country than it is anywhere else in the world, where people are like actually accepting of that type of performance, which is like, and it's in high regard in many other places in the world, as opposed to here, where it's like considered a much lower art form.
Right.
Because they don't recognize the human form.
It's any type of barrier.
Yeah.
People get all kind of freaked out. So you said that it has changed your art. Has it made it darker, or has it made it, a little lighter?
Well, like it's interesting because I started the art that my art has always had a bit of a dark edge to it. And in the beginning of the pandemic, I was making art with my perspective that had a darker edge, you know, like that, but still to convey a message. You know, I was doing paintings of like gas masks paintings of nurses crying and stuff like that with their masks on and things. And at a certain point, it felt to me like it was getting heavy.
Okay.
And so I put that stuff. That stuff is the thing. And I made it and I sort of got it out. And now I'm working more towards things that are not more that have the same message, but are more a message of empathy.
Okay. Which is better?
I think they both have a place, but from my personal psyche, I decided that I wanted to, like, because things are when things are normal. I think dark art has a very strong place to like help wake people up so that it doesn't get to that place.
Right.
Because for me, the dark art is you know, like, I've dabbled in some political art in the past. And, you know, I did this portrait. It was like a portrait of like Trump, Hitler, and Bannon, and they're all together in this thing. And with all this symbology and imagery, and then I did all these combined with all this crying and screaming children, immigrant children who are actual portraits of immigrants that they've all combined, screwed their life up and things like that. And I did all this like during Trump's election before it ever really happened. And the piece was called "History Repeats Itself."
Yes.
And I felt like I had, like, it was awful piece to work on. Like, I hated working on it, but I felt like I had to make this piece because I had to, like, I saw something that was happening, and I had to do something about it, and that, and making the art is the thing that I can do about it.
Okay.
And,
I get that.
And that message connected with as many people as I could connect it with and people, you know, got it. And, you know, I helped get, you know I did try to send that piece to Time Magazine. I was like, here's your new cover art. but I don't think I got it in the faces of any of the right people.
And that's the hard part.
Oh, yeah. But like, you know, it's like, I would have just given it to them to, like, I don't want to even get commission for this. Like this is just to be seen.
Exactly. It's like, I just need this to be seen.
Because everything that was in that piece is unfortunately come true. And it's like every sort of warning that's trying to, you know, tell people about, like, everything has come true. And so at the beginning of the pandemic, I was like, I could see where things were going. I was making art was trying to derail what I saw where things were going. And, and things went exactly in the way that I thought they would go. So now we find, like, we're in a dark place. It's
right.
like
we are.
I don't necessarily want to make art about being the dark place when we're in dark place living that, like, that moment. So now I feel like I'm working on more stuff that is either lifting up or is more playful in that world.
Oh, okay. That's great.
So I'm playing more with the empathy thing. So for me, it's like, when I'm out there wearing a mask or when I build a shield around my bar, it's not because I'm afraid of stuff. I'm a healthy human being. I don't have any pre-existing conditions, whatever definition of
right.
that, whatever it's in the, whatever everybody, anybody's narrative. I don't have asthma. I don't have problems. I don't have a pen. Like I don't get sick. Like I haven't had the flu in when I have no idea how long. Like
right.
I don't get viral infections regularly. It's not something I'm prone to. But what I don't want to be is responsible for somebody else getting sick.
Exactly.
So as an empathetic human being, I want to do everything I can possibly do.
Oh, yeah.
Everything I can possibly think of to prevent the people that I care about from getting sick. And I care about most people, right? Even if I don't know, like, I don't want them to get sick. Right.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
And it's like, I like, even the people protesting and wearing masks, I truly don't want them to get sick.
Exactly.
The unfortunate part is, like, you know, they ain't never gonna learn nothing unless they live through it. And, like, so it's like those people that are protesting that are gonna be, they're gonna feel justified in doing what they did. They don't get sick.
Right.
Which sucks.
Exactly.
But I still don't want them to get sick. But so it's like, where the disconnect for me is with you know, the people that are like, oh, I don't need to wear a mask anymore, and then they're justifying it with all this weird science stuff, and like the fact of the matter is, like, if wearing a mask makes somebody else feel safe, and it's a temporary thing that I only have to put on when I go around other people. I don't have to wear it in my house.
Exactly.
I don't have to wear it in my house. I don't have to wear it in my car, right? I only have to wear it when I go into a store and I'm around somebody else that might be afraid of getting sick and dying, right?
Exactly.
So it's like, no matter what kind of breathing trouble I have, I can figure out how to empathetically navigate the world. Like, if I don't want to wear this mask, I could get the plexus face shield, right? Which would do something, right?
Like, exactly.
I could get, like, one of the, like, a big space helmet that would do something, right? Or I could just order everything online, or I could have a friend to go buy me some stuff. Like, there are endless possibilities of navigating this space without me selfishly putting myself in front of somebody else who might be afraid that I'm going to kill them.
Okay, you know? So I just want you to know that you have now inspired me. I now need a space helmet to walk around and do my shopping in.
I mean,
which will
it's
incredibly
it's
embarrass my wife, but yeah, fabulous idea.
I feel like you should get matching space helmets.
You know, we'll just decorate them a little bit
with
different.
Flower coming out of the top.
Oh, perfect. I love that.
I did an interview years ago for a TV show that I did, where I was interviewing, I interviewed this performance artist named Missy Galore. She's an awesome human being. And she had a character that she would play called the Astronaut. And so she had this whole space helmet thing. And I was like, man, so we should gotta get the Love Astronaut thing happening.
Exactly. I love that. So you're a person that you're used to being out around people. And I know a lot of extroverts that are used to being around people that are having, it's actually affecting them. In like with, you know, I've been seeing more anxiety and depression, claustrophobia from either, you know, having to wear the mask or, you know, being around people. And, you know, how has that, do you have anything that you do to just kind of help you bring it all down and together?
Well, I'm a bit of a weirdo. So I grew up in the boondocks. I grew up in a world where it's like I had my brother to play with, and that was pretty much it. You know, and then and as we got older, when he got his driver's license, he was out doing his thing, and I was at home a lot by myself.
Okay.
And, like I learned how to hacky sack by myself. And I could hit hacky sack without dropping it for hours. Like
wow.
I would just be out in the field by myself, hacky sacking for hours without that. Like it could have been a circus sideshow performance, right? Like
it's very like, popular in my neighborhood.
I was terrible when I was like hacky sacking with other people because I'd be it would just be me. Oh shit! I gotta pass the thing. Whoops. but when it's by myself, I could do it. Like I could just do it indefinitely without ever having to drop the ball. So it's like I have two modes of being that I have consciously turn off. Okay. I could be the extra person in my gallery where I'm engaged in interacting with people, and I can actively turn that off. But during the weekday, when I'm not at my gallery, I'm always home by myself, just working on art. Like I'm relatively a hermit.
Okay.
It's like when I go out to the gallery, it's like I have to turn it on to
okay,
to
I get
in
that
mode.
Yeah.
So it's like I can do it. I can be and I can be comfortable in it. But I can also work on a piece of art for like 3 days and forget there's other people that exist in this world.
okay,
So my therapy is always making art.
Good.
When I don't make something, when I'm not being creative, that's when the anxiety starts creeping in.
Okay.
So it's like if I've gone too long of a period of time without making something, then and I'm like, oh shit, I'm not making something. Oh no. Like I start getting all like tweaked out about like what I'm doing and am I not doing enough and that sort of thing. But my productivity in the pandemic actually hasn't been as productive as I would like it to have been because there's been my space has been preoccupied with lots of other things that
okay.
It wasn't that I didn't have to deal with before.
Exactly.
So it's like now like I structured my life much in a way that I would be playing a survivalist video game. Right? So it's like Tuesdays is laundry day. It's like normally in the time before laundry would take a couple hours, do it in between doing a bunch of other things. I would be working on stuff. And then I'd go to laundry and I'd work on some stuff and then do some laundry. And then it wouldn't be the feature of the, it would be a thing that got done around
right.
other things. Now I live in an apartment building that has a shared laundry room. So like I have to exit my apartment, my little bubble of cleanliness.
Right.
To go out into the world where my neighbors are coming and going. And like at this point I don't even know if I have a name, where's a mask anymore. So I have to wear a mask. So every long day, I will, you know, wash hands. I change out of my indoor clothes and I get into some outdoor clothes. I put the mask on. I go down to the laundry room with all my alcohol wipes and dips and sprays, stuff like that. And I sanitize the whole laundry room. I wipe down all the doorknobs and machine tables and everything. Because it's been a week of people not wearing masks. In the laundry
exactly.
room, right. So I clean the hell out of that thing. So then I don't have to worry about it because we have days for our laundry. So I don't have to worry about anybody else going in there.
Okay.
The day that we do it. This is somewhat nice. So I go down there, I clean everything. And then I go down, bring the laundry and I get the laundry started. But it's like now I've been outside. So, and I don't want to take a shower until I'm finished with all this stuff. So I don't want to go, back into an art studio where it's clean and I don't have to worry about anything. So I just kind of hang out in the living room, sitting on a chair with a blanket on it because I'm going to wash the blanket. So I worry about it. And it's like I don't necessarily want to get the laptop out because if I get the laptop out, I'm going to wipe it all down and sanitize the thing all over again. So I just kind of hang out in the living room, playing a little video games to try forget about what's going on.
You got to have a release.
Yeah. So, but like, usually I used to be productive on those days. Now I'm just kind of like finding a little bit of escapism between adventures out to swap laundry. And we're wearing a lot more clothes because every time we go out, we're changing clothes.
Right.
So the laundry takes a lot longer to do because we have a lot more of it. Now laundry is a full. So now like that's a day where I used to be creative and used to be able to make things.
Right.
And now it's a day of getting this large task done while trying to decompress because stress related with large tasks. Then, you know, next day is usually when groceries are dealt with. So some are ordering groceries online and having them delivered. And other times I'm throwing on the mask and I'm going out into the world to find things that the pre-delivery couldn't bring to us. And it's like hunting and gathering.
Yes, it is. We are back to hunters and gatherers.
I'm like, I come back when I find like a bottle of disinfectant wipes and I'm like, I'm it's like found gold. You know,
exactly.
Like I got a bottle of isopropyl alcohol.
Exactly. You get so excited when you call people and take a picture and go,
yeah, but like you can't get those things online anymore because they're not they're selling those online. So those are the things I have to go out and forage for. So, but any of the stuff that we get, any of the deliveries or any of the groceries I'm back, they then go on to our kitchen table and go through a very methodical process of washing and cleaning every item that we get. Right.
Because you know,
anybody could have sneezed on that. Right. The last grocery delivery that we had, I opened the door and the guy wasn't even wearing a mask.
Okay. So, and you know, one of the things that you can do is when you are doing that extra cleaning over stuff, you know, to me, that would be a time where I would kind of lose myself and just start doing my breathing and meditating and just, you know, because it's one of the safe things that you can kind of go into autopilot.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I'm okay navigating through those things. It's like we pace them out and we do them as they, you know, like we don't panic our way through it. We have set up our own set of protocols. Like this gets this kind of, this. And so like me and my girlfriend were on the same page with everything. So that's like,
that always helps.
We teamwork stuff and it worked, but that's a whole day. Groceries is now a whole other day. Right. And so it's like, I at the very beginning of the pandemic, I made the attempt, like for the first couple of weeks, I was like, okay, I got to go outside. So I'm going to go do all my shopping. I'm going to do the laundry. I'm going to do all the errands, everything on the one day so that I can just be done with it. And holy shit, if I'm not up till like 5 in the morning that day, still trying to finish the laundry. And I'm like, Like it was the worst choice I had ever made I was like, fuck that. I'm never doing that again.
And the thing is that because we're trying, you know, we know that things are going to take a little bit longer sometimes. And so your brain goes, okay, let's just do this today. Let's just do every weird thing, every outside thing that I have to do. And I have people that I've talked to where, you know, they give themselves like a free day, mm-hmm. which generally means that's the day you go out and do stuff.
Oh, no. For me, my free day is like my decompression day where I don't do shit. You know,
other people, you know, you kind of work it out. I have a friend that's in an axe throwing group.
Okay.
They do it outside, but it's a way to get away, you know, it's get your stress out, get doing everything safely, but, you know, throwing an axe or, you know, riding through the desert. Me, you know, I'm an ocean person, but not everybody has that. So, you know, with the shutdown, it's important, and I like to tell people that it's important that although we have these new steps we have to take, you know, don't be isolated. They say personal space, but it's kind of, it may be personal space, but you can still see people, you know, on formats like this.
We've had so many Zoom game nights with friends.
Exactly.
It's pretty great. And the funny thing is, we've seen more friends for like these like pandemic Zoom game nights than we normally would outside, like old friends from like live across country that we haven't seen forever, and we like get together and you know make a meal and have together or something like that, like over Zoom.
Wonderful. Yeah. So how can people find you online, Mr. Brian?
Well, I got a few different outlets online. My shop is embracetheweird.design. This right here, embracetheweird.design. That's where you can find my finished designs. I have a whole line of weird masks I've been creating.
Oh, perfect! I'm gonna have to do some shopping.
I've been racing my inner Halloween.
Now we're talking.
So we're forced to wear these. We have to wear masks now. It's part of what we do, and they all like. I can't help but to see diapers on everybody's faces. Like, because most of them are just born surgical masks, just look like diapers, you know. So it's like, at least like I have to wear a mask in my gallery. I gotta do something that's kind of cool.
To make it yours.
Yeah. So I've been like, what kind of mask we still useful even after a pandemic is over, you know? So I've been doing like skin masks, and I did like a clown mask, and I did a portrait of my own mouth, but it's like this crazy smile mask.
Oh, I love it.
Like, so I've been just doing all these, and then I took some of my artwork and I just put some just posted the artwork on the masks. But like, I've been trying to do things where it's like, so this skeleton one is like a neck gaiter, and it's got all the jaw bones, and then I got like the neck bones going down.
Okay, so definitely. So
it's like straight up Halloween mean mask, like, you know, okay. You know, it's a face covering to that you can still use outside being a pandemic, but it still keeps you from spitting all over everybody.
Great.
But like, so I've been having fun designing those things. All that stuff is available at embracetheweird.design.
Okay, well, I'll make sure that I have all of that on my Facebook page.
Perfect.
You know, it's been great talking to you. We may have a part two on this. And, you know, have a wonderful rest of your day.
All right, you too.
I hope things open up.
I hope they do as well. I see them shutting down sooner and later again. Because just people are not following their empathetic instincts.
So let's, you know, I'll make sure everybody knows where to find you online then.
All right. Well, it's great talking to you.
You too. Yeah. I will talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right.
Bye.
So for everybody, you know that you can find all of my information online on my Facebook page, on my website page, hypnofairygodmother.com. Don't forget, I do have my Wednesday mindfulness. And all of these are posted on the YouTube page, the Hypno Fairy Godmother YouTube page. So remember, tell all your friends about the show and take that nice deep breath. Hold it. Release that smile and have a wonderful week. I will talk to you next time.
You're listening to the Hypno Fairy Godmother Show with Shirley Yance, only on LA Talk Radio.